Well, good morning to you all. It is wonderful to be here with you, and I count myself blessed to be able to worship God with you, pray with you, study His Word together. Thank you so much for doing me the favor and the honor of giving me your attention while we discuss some truths from God's Word this morning. I want to start our lesson this morning in a little bit of a different way. What I want to do is I want to start by just asking you some questions. And I'm going to ask you some questions that I want you to respond to, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions. And if what I ask you sounds good to you, then I want you to give me a hearty amen. Now, can you do that? Because 2 weeks ago, you couldn't when I asked for an amen, and it was really awkward. Okay? And I mean, I'm going to keep asking the questions, so either it can be really awkward or you can participate, okay? So this morning, I just want to ask you some questions. And again, if what I say sounds good to you, if you want what I ask, then I want you to give me an amen. So let's start with this question. Let me ask you, do you want God to provide for your needs? That's what we want, right? We want God to always give us what we need. Now, we don't need all the riches and luxury in the world, but we want God to give us the things that we always need to provide us with what's necessary for us. Let me ask you this question. Do you want an abundant life? A life that's full of joy and peace and happiness, a peace within, right? We want that. Let me ask you this. Do you want God to restore your soul? That's what we want from God. We want Him to make us new, right? We want Him to make us new, not just on the outside, but all the way deep down into our very bones. We want God to change us and to make us different. Do you want to know what's right? Know what is clearly true and what is clearly wrong, to leave all the muddled confusion of this world aside and to truly know what's right. We want that. Do you want to live without fear and doubt? Do you want God's comfort? Do you want overflowing blessings in your life? Do you want a life that's filled with goodness and kindness? And finally, here's the biggest amen. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, that was good. That was good. We want all those things, don't we? Those things are no-brainers. I want those things. You know, if you asked a worldly person what they wanted more than anything else in the world, they might answer in a variety of different ways, right? You asked a person walking down the street, okay, I'll give you anything you want. Anything you want. Tell me what you want. They might say a number of different things. They might say, look, I want to be more wealthy. They might say, look, I want to be more beautiful. They might say, look, I want people to know who I am. I want notoriety and recognition or Instagram followers. But spiritual people, really spiritual people, their minds are focused in a different way. People like us, we want the life that we just talked about, don't we? A life where God does all of those things that we just asked. Where He gives us what we need. Where He gives us a life of abundant joy and peace within. A life where He takes away fear and doubt. A life where we know with certainty that we are going to heaven. We want that blessed life, don't we? And how wonderful it would be if all of those things that I asked you this morning, God would give to us. And that's the great thing about belonging to Christ, isn't it? Because God truly does give us all of those things that we say that we want. He does, when we belong to Christ, promise to give us those things. All of those questions that we asked this morning, they're rooted in Psalm chapter 23. I want you to go there with me. Psalm chapter 23. The beauty of belonging to Christ is that this is what God promises us. He promises that those questions that we asked this morning, that He will do those things, that He will provide those things for us. He promises that in Christ, we can have everything we said amen to this morning. Psalm 23, read this with me. Beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear the promises in Psalm 23? Do you hear what God says we will have when we follow Christ? That is the blessed life. That's the life that we want. And understand, brothers and sisters, that for those who have found salvation in Christ, for those who have believed in Christ, have repented of their sins, and have put on Christ in baptism, that kind of blessed life is within reach. You can have that blessed life. But it is just that. It is within reach. But it's not guaranteed. Because in order for us as Christians to experience the blessed life of Psalm 23, there is something that we must do. We must let Jesus be our shepherd. If I want the blessed life of Psalm 23, I have to let Jesus be my shepherd. Understand that all of the wonderful promises of this psalm, if you look at it, all of the wonderful promises are predicated and qualified by what David says at the very beginning. What does he say? The Lord is what? The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe I should have asked you guys to respond again. The Lord is my shepherd, right? That's what everything is predicated on. The Lord is my shepherd. If you want the life that he promises, David says, this is what my life is like. This is what I have. This is what I enjoy. This is what I get from God. And the reason I get it is because the Lord is my shepherd. And you can have this blessed life and you can enjoy this wonderful life, but you have to be willing to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's the deal. Here's the idea that I want you to walk away with this morning. That you can truly have all the blessings of Psalm 23. Your life can look like that. But you have to let Jesus be your shepherd. You can have that blessed and wonderful life, but only if you're willing to say, I am his sheep. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk to you about what it means that Jesus is our shepherd. I want to talk to you about what it means that we are his sheep. Let me give you three things, 3 points, and then the lesson will be yours this morning. 3 things you must do in order to have your life as a Christian look like the blessed life of Psalm 23. And the first thing is this. If I want the blessings of Psalm 23, I must make sure that Jesus is my shepherd. And that means, first of all, that I must admit that I'm a sheep. First of all, I must admit that I'm a sheep. Now, of course, nobody is really interested in being a sheep. That's not a very flattering thing, is it? No one's really excited to say, man, you know, my spirit animal, I'm a sheep, you know, because that's what we all want to be, right? The truth is, sheep really, really aren't that flattering of an animal to be compared to. And if you sat there and you made a pro and con list of sheep, it might look something like this. On the con side, you got ugly and stupid and easily lost and gullible, right? Vulnerable to attack. And on the pro list, you have warm and tasty. And I'm not sure tasty is a pro for the sheep. It's not the most flattering term to call yourself a sheep, is it? But I want you to appreciate that David doesn't just look at us and say, hey, you guys are sheep. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the brave warrior that killed Goliath, David says what? I'm a sheep. David, King David says, I'm a sheep. And so at least we're in good company when we call ourselves sheep. And the reason David calls himself a sheep is because David understands that like a sheep, he needs guidance in life. He needs guidance. He knows that just like a sheep, his own instincts and his own cleverness are not enough to guide him through life. Do you understand that about yourself? Do you understand what David understood about himself? You know, David knew that he was unable to provide for his own needs. David knew, if I try to live my life without guidance from God, I will want. And David knew that he, by himself, couldn't find the green grass. He couldn't find the quiet waters. Do you know that about yourself too? That when we try to live life by our own gut instincts, by our own cleverness, we don't know the best way. We don't know how to find that tranquility. We don't know how to find that inner peace. We don't know how to find the green grass, even though we are all convinced that we do sometimes. David says, I'm a sheep. And when he says that, what he's saying is, I know that I need a guide. I know that I can't do it by myself. In other words, he's saying, I'm done shepherding myself. Are you willing to say that this morning? Here's the deal with Psalm 23. You can have all the blessings of that wonderful life, but only if you're willing to say, I need guidance. My wisdom is not enough. My cleverness is not going to cut it. I'm done shepherding myself. I am a sheep. Do you guys know anyone who's a WebMD crazy person? Do you know what I'm talking about? Everybody in their life somewhere has somebody who is a WebMD crazy person. And well, for me, I wonder if she'll watch this. It's my mom. Let's just be honest about that. My mom is the WebMD crazy person. And she's not as crazy as some people, but everybody knows that WebMD crazy person in their life. And if you don't know any of them, it's you, okay? So you know the WebMD crazy person, right? That's the person, like, they feel like they got something wrong with their arm or something. They got something wrong with them, and so they look up all their symptoms on WebMD, and then they go through all of the diagnoses, right? And they go down to the very bottom diagnosis, which is, like, the most terrible, crazy thing. Like, you have a cut on your arm and it hurts. Oh, yeah, you must have some terrible deadly disease that's going to kill you instantly. And they say, oh, well, that might be what I have. So I've decided I have this terrible disease and I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to tell the doc, I'm not going to have him diagnose me. I'm just going to go to the doctor. I'm going to tell him what I have. And then I'm going to demand that he treat me in a certain way because I also looked up all the treatments too. Y'all know that person? And I'm sure for our health professionals in the building, you understand the frustration of that. How frustrating it is when somebody who literally knows nothing about health comes in and tells you they know all about what's wrong with them and what to do to fix it. And sometimes as Christians, we're tempted to live that way spiritually, right? We think that we know what's best for us. We think that we have control. We think we can diagnose our own problems and plan our own treatment plans. Sometimes we think that all we have to do is live by our own wisdom, by our own instincts, and by our own intuition. And when we do that, we'll find the green grass and the quiet waters. But that's just not the case, brothers and sisters. Ultimately, when we depend on our own instincts, we'll find that they're wrong. We'll find that our wisdom and our intuitions fail us. And that when we guide ourselves, we end up with broken lives. Far different than the kind of life that's described in Psalm 23. The truth is, we are sheep. And we do need guidance. And if we want that blessed life of Psalm 23, then I must admit that I am a sheep. I must be willing to say, look, I'm done shepherding myself. And I'm ready to follow someone. And that is the second thing. If I want the blessed life of Psalm 23, I must admit that I'm a sheep and I must be willing to follow. I must learn to follow Jesus, my shepherd. That's another thing that we know about sheep, that's one thing that sheep do really well. Sheep follow, right? And we learn about that in the Gospels, especially in John chapter 10, when Jesus talks about his sheep, right? And he talks about how his sheep are like real sheep, right? Real sheep, when they see their shepherd going somewhere, they what? They go after him. They follow him. They want to be where he is. And real sheep, when they hear their shepherd's voice, they do what? They listen. When he calls them, they come. Unlike your children. And that's what we must be like. If we want the blessed life of Psalm 23, we have to be willing to follow Jesus. We have to be willing to go where he leads us, to live as he lived, and to listen to his voice when he calls us and when he instructs us. You know, brothers and sisters, I think this is a really important point, and I hope that if there's someone out there today that needs to hear this, that they would hear this very carefully. I think there are many Christians who have found salvation in Jesus and then expect that now that they've been saved, they will automatically have the life of Psalm 23. There are some Christians who think, look, I've been saved, I got baptized, now I've risen from the waters of baptism, I'm a new creature, and guess what? Now I have Psalm 23, blessed life. And then they get to living their life and they start to realize that things aren't quite working out like that. And they get frustrated with God, they get frustrated with Jesus, they get frustrated with the Holy Spirit. And they say, look, Psalm 23 promises a blessed life. I was saved, I was baptized for the remission of my sins. Where's the blessed life? Where's the green pastures? Where's the quiet waters? Because my life is a mess. And they get frustrated with God. Because they wonder where that abundant life is that they were promised. And I think, brothers and sisters, that is a dangerous misunderstanding. And I want you to hear me carefully, because what I'm about to say can be easily misunderstood, but I think it is vitally important. I want you to understand that obviously, first of all, the blessed life of Psalm 23 is only possible for those who have been saved. But Psalm 23 isn't talking about what happens after we're baptized. I want you to understand that what he's talking about here specifically and directly is not something that is a result of salvation. Understand that the blessed life of Psalm 23 is not a result of salvation. It is a result of following the good shepherd. Do you see that? We pointed that out at the beginning, right? David talks about, he predicates all of this by saying what? The Lord is my shepherd. And so that everything that comes afterward, what he's really talking about is not, hey, this is what happens as soon as you're baptized. He says, hey, this is what happens when you let Jesus be your guide. Psalm 23 is not specifically about the blessing of salvation. It's about the blessing of having a perfect guide. That's what it's about. And so when I live my life as a Christian and I think that everything is going to be warm and sunny and wonderful just because I did what I needed to do to have my sins washed away, I need to consider Psalm 23 and I need to recognize that the blessings of Psalm 23 come from following Jesus. And when I get frustrated, I need to remember that. You know, the truth is that he does provide green pastures and quiet waters. He really does. But brothers and sisters, I've got to follow him there. And if I don't follow him to the green pastures and the quiet waters, I'm not going to find him. And so many Christians wonder, look, I got baptized. Why is my life still so messed up? Why do I feel exhausted? Why do I feel burnt out? Why do I feel like I'm getting pulled into a bunch of different directions? Where's the green pastures? When do I get to lie down in nice soft grass? And maybe the problem is I haven't followed him to the nice soft grass. Maybe I haven't listened to what he said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Maybe the problem is I'm not following him to the quiet waters because I'm spending my life investing in worldly things and not spiritual things. And we know, brothers and sisters, he promises that we as Christians can live without fear. He really does promise that. That you can live without fear and you can live without doubt. But the truth is, if I want to live that way, I have to hear his voice. And so many Christians wonder, look, I've been saved by Jesus. I got baptized. Why am I still scared of everything? Why do I still have all these doubts? Why do I still feel so much like drawing back and not being brave like Jesus told me to? Why am I still just paralyzed by fear? And maybe the answer is, I'm not listening to him. I'm not hearing his voice, because this is what our Lord said. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. We can live without fear and we can live without doubt, but we have to hear him when he says things like that. We have to listen to him when he says, look, I care and I see every single last bird. I care and I see you too. And the truth is, he does prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, just as is promised in Psalm 23. But I have to sit down. I have to choose to sit down and enjoy the feast he provides. You know, Christians wonder sometimes, look, I'm a Christian, I've been baptized, have my sins washed away. Why don't I feel blessed? Why don't I feel joyful? Why do I feel like the world has everything and I have nothing? I should be joyful, but I'm not. What happened, Jesus? The truth is, he does provide that table in the presence of my enemies, but I have to choose to sit at the table. And I have to choose to keep my eyes focused on the wonderful feast he provides and not get distracted by all of the delicacies of the world. I have to do what Paul did in Philippians 3 and verse 8, where he said, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. You know why sometimes as Christians we wonder why we don't feel blessed? Why don't I feel joyful? It's because we don't look at physical things in this world and count them as rubbish compared to what Christ provides. I can have that blessed life. I just have to choose to sit down at the table and focus on the amazing spiritual blessings that Christ gives me. The truth is, brothers and sisters, I can have the blessed life of Psalm 23, but only if I follow Jesus there. I must learn to follow. And let me say this finally. I must learn to follow. And I must learn to follow through the valleys. I think this sermon would be woefully incomplete if we didn't add this point. The truth is, you can have the blessed life of Psalm 23, but only if you're willing to walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death. I need to make one thing clear this morning, that I am not saying that if you walk with Jesus, that everything is always going to be perfect. I can't promise that. I will not promise that. And to be honest, that's not even what Psalm 23 promises. I mean, we're sitting here in the middle of this awesome psalm talking about all these wonderful blessings of the blessed life. But right smack dab in the middle, he admits, look, even in the blessed life, you have to do what? You have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. Like, not even David is saying that the blessed life is a perfect life, and we shouldn't expect that. We shouldn't expect that. And so I'm not saying that everything is going to be perfect and everything is always going to be grand while you live the blessed life. The truth is that we live in a fallen world. And there's absolutely no way to go through life. There is no route through life that bypasses pain or trouble or difficulty. You're not going to find that anywhere. Not in a single place. It is not a possibility to live this life without experiencing pain or trouble. But you know what is a possibility? this life is. This life is a possibility. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, that if we want the life of Psalm 23, then what we must learn to do is to keep following Jesus, even when he has to lead us through valleys. Even when following him causes us some pain or some trouble or some difficulty. And that is sometimes where we run into trouble. You know, we say all the time that we don't believe in a health and wealth gospel, right? We don't preach that. I'm not sitting up here like saying, hey, call our line and donate $100 and blessings will abound in your life, okay? We're not doing that. We don't believe that, do we? But sometimes we live like we do. Because I'll tell you what happens. The second I'm following Jesus and I'm following him the way he's asked me to follow him, the second something goes wrong, we instantly think one of two things, depending on your personality. We instantly either think, okay, what did I do wrong, right? Anybody in that camp? Okay, I'm following Jesus. I'm doing everything he told me to do. Oh, here comes trouble. What did I mess up? I must have missed a command somewhere. I must have treated someone bad somewhere. And now I'm getting got because I did something wrong. If something's gone wrong, I must have messed up. Or we think, what's going on with Jesus? This is not what you promised. This is not, I'm doing everything right. Why aren't you coming through for me? And the truth is, neither of those answers are necessarily true. Especially not the Jesus one. The truth is, sometimes when we are doing everything right, we still have to walk through the valley. And the mistake we make is sometimes, as we're following our shepherd, when he must lead us through a valley, we quit him. And we stop following him because we think to ourselves, well, following Jesus should always be perfect and it should always be easy and there should never be any trouble. And so as soon as there's trouble, we stop following. And we miss something important. We miss the fact that part of following Jesus is following him through the valleys. You know, as we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus, we wonder to ourselves, look, where are the green pastures? Where are the quiet waters? Lord, where's the table, the feast you're going to prepare me in the presence of my enemies? Where is that? And we miss the fact that it's on the other side of the valley. And we miss the fact that sometimes the only way to get to green pastures, the only way to get to the quiet waters is to go through the valley. That's what we learn in James, isn't it? James 1 verse 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know what that passage is telling us in other words? It says sometimes the only way to have green pastures, the only way to have quiet waters, the only way to get to that table where your Lord has prepared that feast for you is to go through a valley. Is to go through some kind of pain or some kind of trouble. Sometimes that's the only way to get there because we need the valleys. Because we learn in the valleys. Because the valleys and the pain and the trouble of life, they have an effect on us and they produce a result in us. They change us. And so maybe right now today, you're walking with Jesus and you're going through a rough stretch of the valley of the shadow of death and you're wondering that same thing. Where's that blessed life of Psalm 23? You need to remember, it's on the other side of the valley. And if you want that life, then you need to learn not just to follow Jesus, but to stick with him, to follow him even when he has to lead you through valleys. That's what it truly means to let the Lord be your shepherd. And so this morning, let us remember the promised life, the life that is promised to us if we're willing to make the Lord our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Understand, brothers and sisters, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is qualified, it's predicated on the idea that I let the Lord be my shepherd. And I pray that that's the choice all of us will make today. Now, this morning we've talked about the idea of the saved letting Jesus be their shepherd. But maybe this morning the truth is you're not saved. And you have not done what's necessary to become one of his sheep. And we want to offer you that opportunity right now. Understand that the blessed life we've talked about, it is possible for Christians. It is impossible if you are lost and your soul is covered in sin. And so I urge you this morning that if you've never with faith in Christ repented of your sins and been baptized in water to put on Christ and be cleansed from your sins, I urge you to do that right now while we stand and while we sing.